But come back for bubbles. We'll come and get you. All right. We're going to read from Hosea and from Luke, and they're short passages, so I'm just going to ask that you listen today. We will stand while I read them in a moment here, but I would love it if you just remain seated and focus on hearing the words today instead of maybe seeing them in the text today. But we've been in the fruit of the Spirit, and we started with peace a couple weeks ago, then patience last week, and this week kindness. And I'm going to ask the question right off the bat, because this plays into last week and also this week, but where can these things be found? Where is their source? How would you answer that? The Spirit. God. The person of God, right? His character. Not only who he is, but also what he does. This is where you find these things. So I got to be really good today to, I've got my normal preaching thing here. I'm going to try and cut it down. So as I pray, you pray for me. Let's pray. God, today, would you speak? Just thank you for your word. Your word is like food. Your word is like a double-edged sword. It cuts through the junk, the lies, and gets to the truth. And Lord, that's what we want to hear today. That's why we've come, so that we can be guided, reoriented, and understand what your kingdom is all about, so that we might follow, that we might live into it, that we might walk in your Spirit, the source of these things. Lord, we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So the message today is going to be cultivating kindness in the midst of self-sufficiency. And self-sufficiency is going to be a small part of it, but that's my title for today. May seem a little bit odd. I'll explain the connection. But this fruit of the Spirit, just like patience and like peace, is like this. I described this pothole arch in Moab, a wonderful place. You're all by yourself out there, and you crawl into this little sort of carved out hole, and you look out this. This is what the fruit of the Spirit are like, I think, is that when we see them and we taste them, we get a glimpse of this window into something beautiful. You can see it. There's a world out there to explore and to live into. That's how I see them, a window into beauty. Let's stand as I read the two texts from the Word today. One is from Hosea chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up in my arms. But they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, chesed, with bonds of love. I was to them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. What a beautiful image. I lifted the yoke from their neck. I bent down to them and fed them. That's Hosea. Here's from Luke. And this would be sort of, think of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount. This is sort of the Sermon on the Mount piece in Luke. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is it to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great. You will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. So be merciful just as your Father is merciful. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Let's have a seat. Hosea. It's a beautiful book. And this tender image that comes to us is very much like a father or a mother teaching a child how to walk. It's like teaching a son or a daughter to ride a bike. A picture of love, one of nurture, one of care, one that guides, that, you know, you hold on to the seat, right? Or you hold on to their hands and then you gradually let go and they start to walk and they fall or they wipe out and you dust off their knees and you pick them up again and you again lead and guide them. It's a beautiful, nurturing image. It's much like the motif of a shepherd, which, if you've been around the church a while, you know Psalm 23, the language of the Lord is my shepherd. And the language that's there too, like leading beside still waters, creating green, into green pastures, bringing restoration, development, and growth to the human soul, the love of God for his created human being. In Luke, we have a description, actually, by Jesus of God's character. Remember last week, I pointed out that patience is God's character. It's who he is, but it's also what he does. The same is true for kindness. And God makes a parallel that he is kind to the good and the bad, the righteous and the unrighteous. He is kind even to the ungrateful and the wicked, which, if we come face to face with the truth about us and God, that is us, enemies of God, and yet God is kind to us, and he loves us, and he sends his son, and he gives us his spirit, teaching us how to walk, how to ride a bike. Jesus describes this kindness of God in a lot of ways. You know, the center of the church's mission here at Crestview, we are an authentic community of faith, right? That glorifying God sounds pretty general. Yeah, it's general, but that's really the truth of our existence. And the center of it is becoming like Christ. Becoming like God, not in the sense that we become God, right? God is God, we are not. But we become like him, little Christ followers, Christ doers. You'll be children of the Most High. Why? Because God loved us first. That's why we show loving kindness to others. Now, kindness is an interesting word. I described it this week in the blog. It's very mellow. It's kind of bland. I remember the dating years, if someone asked me, so what is Dion like, and I say something like, oh, she's nice. She's kind, right? There's just not much passion in that, right? It's sort of a word that's nice. Kindness seems so everyday. Do you remember the popularity a few years ago of this? Practice random acts of kindness. Now, you got to be probably my age to actually maybe remember that. I don't know. The billboard bumper sticker blitz, it was trendy, it was faddish, a slogan to live your life by. You'd see it on cars, you'd see it in different places. A well-grossing film came out of it, Pay It Forward, popular. Practice random acts of kindness. So, you see somebody on the side of the road, help them change their tire if they need it, pay for someone's meal behind you in the drive-thru. I don't know if anybody ever had that happen, but I think it was more popular during that movement. Yet it seemed to fade away after a while. So what was labeled cool and trendy, it just became sort of, well, it cooled off, right? Just this past week, Dion and I experienced a random act of kindness. It was cool. It was graduation weekend at CU. So Friday night, we decided to go downtown to eat. We did find a place. Tahona took us in. It was great. We got in right away. Wonderful food, It was great. But, to find parking sometimes is a little difficult. And it was around 5 o'clock. We're like, let's go early. That didn't matter either. Reserved tables everywhere, right? So we pulled down the street. I'm not sure of the number. It's around 13, 14, or whatever the Brewing Market is on it. 13th. I know you would know. And, you know, the city hall, it's the one that cuts through downtown, but there's only like 6 to 8 spots there. I mean, not many. So I'm just, oh, let's just go down here. And we turn in a car right in front of us pulls out. It was great. And we pulled in. There we were, right on Pearl Street. So I go over, I got to pay 2 hours of parking. 7 o'clock is free. I go over there and I'm about ready to put my credit card in to get a couple hours covered. And there's this like piece of paper jammed in the paper dispenser. So I just grabbed it and I looked at it and it said, good till 7:01. It was amazing what that did. It made our date all of a sudden just better, just this random act of kindness. And we went off dancing down the street to find a place to eat. It was cool. It was neat. But what God, through Scripture, encourages us to do is to make kindness a lifestyle. And you know who needs our kindness more than anyone? Not the random person so much, where there's no relationship, but to the people who are closest to us. Kindness. Think about that. So that includes the people that annoy us, the people who may mistreat us from time to time, the people who become sort of normal to us. We think we have them all figured out. Kindness. It's not so much random as it is intentional. Now, all we have to do is look at God and we can see this. God did not love you or love me in a random way. It is intentional. So intentional, right, that he sends his son, right, to die for me. And for you. It's not random. It comes and it's housed in an intentional relationship that meets the deepest need that we have. That's more the understanding of kindness. I'll get to the Hebrew word again. I've talked about it here several times already. I'll just remind us of it today. Because loving kindness or steadfast mercy, or these are words in Scripture that describe this same exact word of kindness. It's who God is and it's what he does. So in a culture that is cultivating hate and anger and judgment and violence, and it's on the rise, cultivating a lifestyle of kindness is God's wonderful way to counteract, to combat, to overcome those things. And it's a fruit of the Spirit, God living in us. Gavin Whitsett wrote a book about the kindness movement. He called it Guerrilla Kindness. The main point of the book is to practice random acts of kindness. Why? Because, and this is part of the main thrust of the book, really, because it makes you feel good. And in fact, you begin to feel better. It's actually true. And you begin to feel better about yourself. I think those things are true. Warm fuzzies will flood your heart. You know something's coming, don't you? You know, the evidence is there, scientifically even now through studies, right, and proven methods of questioning and asking about kindness. And kindness does alter our mood. There's something about us, how we've been created, that kindness actually alters our mood when we engage it. It works like a painkiller. It actually, your body reduces endorphins. It does lower anxiety and depression. It protects your heart because oxytocin is also formed, and that reduces blood pressure. It calms you down a little bit. It reduces stress. You also produce less cortisol, which means it slows aging. Another bonus. So several years ago, our family and some other families, and these are things that all of us may have engaged in time, small group mostly, went down to Memphis, Tennessee. So when we lived in Michigan, and we did a spring break serve trip with an organization called SOS, While we were there, some of us, you know, did different things during the week. We picked up garbage in the neighborhood. We cut down the waist-high grass on some empty lots. Things that the neighbors had requested and desired to help them manage the neighborhood better. Our motivation was love, and our motivation was kindness. And you know, it does bring feelings of goodness and joy and warm fuzzies. And I'm telling you, that's good. It's not a bad thing. It's just fine. We got out of our comfort zones and normal patterns of life to engage others. I invite everybody, young people, you name it, to do service learning type things. I'm for it. Yet, there needs to be more to it. Philip Kinnison writes in his book, Life on the Vine, which is a resource I'm using quite a bit for this series. There's a problem with thinking of kindness if it remains random or motivated by good feel fuzzies. If that is our motivation, if it is only random, if it is only about form fuzzies, he says, we have completely missed the boat. In fact, we're not even on the river. We're still in this bathtub of kindness, sitting in the warm, soothing water of easy kindness. And I love the challenge of Jesus. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Everybody does that. If you only greet those or show kindness to those who are your friends, what are you doing more than others? See, everybody does that. He's asking us to be children of the Most High. If we do these things, we will become like God in the sense that we will be his sons and his daughters. Isn't that beautiful? And that involves intentionally even loving our enemies or the people who are so common in your life they annoy the heck out of you. Kindness. The Bible reveals the true depths of kindness. I'm going to talk about what I do. Oh, I pushed something already. Biblical kindness involves intentional relationship with meeting the deep needs of another. It is not random. It is not motivated just by feel-good emotions or the benefits you can get from it. It's not about being nice or spontaneously spendy towards another with your loose change. Cultivating biblical kindness goes much, much, much deeper. Okay. You can buy a coffee for the next person in line at the coffee shop. I think it's kind of cool. Maybe motivate someone to do something for another person. But better yet, go to the next level and notice the needs of the people around you, the deep, heartfelt needs, and see if you can't intentionally show kindness towards that in building relationship. You know, this is the heart of our thing about, you know, the art of neighboring. Noticing, listening, asking good questions, sharing your life with others, living life, having people around your dinner table, loving others, serving others. It's intentional, not random. If kindness remains random, and this is, I think, my own thing here, so if it doesn't make sense, blame me. Both the benefactor, if it's random, both the benefactor, right, the buyer of the coffee, and the beneficiary, the receiver, still remain ignorant of each other's most profound needs. It may be nice, but we're missing the boat when it comes to kindness, okay? So we looked at Hosea, intentional relationship. We see it there like a father, like a mother nurturing their child, teaching them how to walk. God is teaching us how to love and be kind. Like Luke, even those who are ungrateful, wicked, put your name in there, whatever the list may be. So I bring back the Hebrew today, and you know this word. You can pronounce it with me here. It's fun to say, all right? But, you know, don't do it directly at the person in front of you. All right? It's chesed. Chesed. What a wonderful word, right? Chesed. It is who God is, and it is what he does. One of my greatest pains, I think, is sometimes when I talk to people and they're like, how could God love me? And then they got a list, or how can God be a God of love? Da, 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 da. I mean, those are big questions for me too, but it hurts me because the love of God is so wonderful. And it's for you and for me. Without intentional relationship, kindness is random, and it's exactly that, random. Nice. You know, if you want to think about what hesed looks like, look at Jonathan and David's relationship in Scripture. Just read those chapters. If you want to know what hesed looks like, read the book of Ruth and see how Naomi and Ruth and Boaz live this life of hesed. It's beautiful. Do you remember Job? All his friends wanting to give him advice and tell him what was wrong, what was going on when he was going through so much hardship. And Job says to his friends, you have withheld from me chesed. They were not meeting his deep need. What they thought was kindness or whatever wasn't there. How about the cry of Micah 6 verse 8? We love this in the church. Do justice, love chesed, and walk humbly with your God. You know, I don't know personally of a better illustration of chesed expression than the idea of adoption and foster care, giving unaccompanied minors who come to the border a place to stay, a safe place to be until they can be reunited. I can't think of a better illustration than that. Chesed. Caring for the refugee, the widow, the orphan. I know we got problems with immigration and there are different ways to approach it. We shouldn't be at each other's necks about that and throats. There's lots of approaches to care for the immigrant, to welcome. But it starts with kindness. The biblical understanding of the fruit of the Spirit is other-directedness. Why love others? Because he first loved us. Here's why it's so fascinating. Engaging chesed. I've got a little thing here because this is like a wheel in a cycle, okay? To engage chesed or to experience it from God causes us then to, right, be motivated by the Spirit to engage chesed, which in return, when we live out loving kindness of God, it comes back to us. It's like that phrase, you know, the text of throwing your, cast your bread upon the water, man, just keep casting it, it's going to come back to you on every wave. That's how God's world works when we walk in step with him. Do you know the early Christians, they weren't called Christians, they were referred to as the chesed ones, the kind ones. And here's another thing that saddens me when I talk to people who've been burned by the church. Ooh. There's such a deep, you know, angst. And I'm like, God is a God of love and kindness. Oh, that we would be known as the chesed ones in our world. So the obstacle to kindness, and here's where I'm going to speed it up. I have self-sufficiency here, and this is really interesting in Kinnison's book because he points to the fact that self-reliance or autonomy, independence, right, which is something, right, we pride ourselves on that as people, that this attitude kills true kindness in the biblical sense. And here's why. Because it curbs our appetite for loving kindness. Intentional relationship. Because we tend to not need. Or we tend to judge somebody else who is in need, you see. It curbs our kindness. We may not reach out in chesed because we expect everyone else to have it together like we do. Which is kind of funny to begin with. In fact, I'm kind of curious today, who has it all together here today? We may not receive help for fear of seeming weak or inadequate. And both of these things, by the way, develop prejudices. They do. So don't misunderstand me, man. I was brought up in a Dutch home. Yes, I'm first generation, so I received all of that hard stuff, right, that was worked in there. And this truly is an immigrant thing, right? You work hard to make it. And I received a lot of that sort of work ethic. So I'm all into independence, and I like to see other people work towards independence. I mean, I have all that here, so don't misunderstand. God does not call us to relationships of dysfunctional dependency. It's not what we're talking about. This too can be deeply dehumanizing. It's deeply dehumanizing when there's dependency without a chance or opportunity for reciprocity of kindness, where there's a charity or acts of kindness, right? Without relationship, you've got to have relationship with it. That can be patronizing as well. We see it. When helping hurts, or kindness sometimes hurts, but that's not what we're talking about today. So how do we cultivate kindness in a society like ours where such strong ideas of self-sufficiency, to be self-directed, self-governed, where individual autonomy just permeates our lives? How can we do it? Well, we need to do it in relationships that share reciprocal kindness. We need to really allow other people to be kind to us as well. So how do we cultivate it? There's just a couple of things. All right, to finish today. I have down to learn from God. Every one of us is a recipient of kindness of God and the kindness from other people. We need to remember those things, remember our story, remember all the things we've been given, the ways that people have loved us, and be grateful, to live into gratitude. We need to engage worship, and I'm talking about the general sense of worship. I'm not talking about, yeah, come to church on Sunday. I think that's great, by the way. But I'm talking about worship that is all of life, where we live in such a dependency on the chesed of God every day, right, that it flows from us. And that takes intentional relationship with God to do that. And don't be afraid of weakness. You know, the scripture text, I think this is where it really comes sort of home to live with all of its truth and power, is his power is made perfect in our vulnerability and weakness. And the last one, I want to encourage you to be open to engaging community with your neighbors. I'm going to come back to this quite a bit this summer because it's a big deal for us here at Crestview. To nurture the connections that God has you in at school. Parents, right, of other kids, of friends of your kids. Your actual neighbors that God actually put you in location next to. The people at work. What would happen if we just display biblical kindness in the situations we're in? I'm going to end here. This is a picture by Woody Green. If you see Woody's pictures, they're magnificent. I said, can I use this, Woody? He said, yeah, because you know what the title of this is? The Blessing from Pastor Mark. That's what he called it. So I'm going to have you stand for a moment. Go ahead. Receive the blessing from God. And then I'm going to have you be seated just one more time after that, all right? The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn towards you and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated.